Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Not only have I been the owner of Mint Mobile for the last few years, I've also been a customer. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
New activation and upfront payment for 3-month plan required. Taxes and fees extra. Additional restrictions apply. See mintmobile.com for full terms.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. I'm your host, Richie Billing, and today I am delighted to introduce fantasy and science fiction literary agent Laura Bennett from the Liverpool Literary Agency, who's very kindly given up her time to come to chat with me about what it's like to be an agent, what their relationship is like with authors and how they approach submissions, what they're looking for in submissions, what they're not looking for in submissions, and what happens when you get signed by an agent and the steps that follow, such as working with editors from different publishers, for example. It's very comprehensive chat. Very, very interesting indeed. I learned an awful lot, and I sincerely hope that you're going to learn something new too. I have been very keen to bring an agent onto the show for a good while, just because it's always an area that I've never had much experience of, and from the things that I have learned, I've come secondhand through other people. So I've always been keen just to interview an agent and just to get the dealio of what's going on. Before we get into the chat, just a quick reminder that if you don't want to miss any episodes, if you're liking what you're hearing, then be sure to follow or subscribe to the show so that you get a notification when the next one comes out. If you really do like what you're hearing, please consider giving us a quick rating on the Spotify mobile app. It's a fantastic way to show your support for the show and to help other people find the show as well, which is a fantastic thing. Another way you can help us do that is by sharing the show, a quick share on social media or with anyone you know who you think may be interested. That would be hugely appreciated, though. Thank you very much. If you'd like to get involved with our writing community, then just click the link in the description and you'll receive an invite to join us on Discord and Facebook. Both groups are thriving at the moment. I think we've got a couple of hundred in each. And on Discord in particular, you can find people to do story swaps with, give a bit of feedback on each other's work. And that's something that a lot of writers have been emailing me about, saying that they've really struggled to find anyone to help them with that. So this is a great place to solve that problem. And just a quick note to let you know that there's not going to be an episode on the 14th of October because I'm on holiday. So sorry about that, guys. But we'll be back on the 28th of October. We've got some very interesting guests lined up. So yeah, and if you want to keep learning beyond this podcast to fill the void between now and the next episode, head over to Patreon. There's all different tiers, ranging from just £1, I think, to I think £10 or £20, and you get all different kinds of support. So you can get access to writing classes, a copy of my book, Thoughts on Writing, and a copy of A Fantasy Writer's Handbook. And you can also get access to one-to-one where feedback sessions with me. So if you're interested, just head over to Patreon. Link is in the description and you can learn more there. And now it's time to introduce Laura Bennett from the Liverpool Literary Agency. I'm delighted to welcome to the Toolshed today a very special guest, fantasy and sci-fi literary agent Laura Bennett of the Liverpool Literary Agency. Laura, thank you so much for giving up your time to chat with me about the life of a literary agent.
Yeah, thank you.
It's really cool to have a fellow Scouser on the show as well. I think we've only ever had one Scouser on before. It was a friend of mine called Dan Campbell who came on to chat about writing comedy. And Laura, I understand that in the past you've worked as a teacher of creative writing and you've also moved into the world of red pens and editing, as well as doing a bit of freelance writing for video and role-playing games. So, jack of all trades.
A little bit, yeah. They all kind of feed into each other, though.
I always find it crazy how much work writers take on. Like, we just don't have any time to do anything, really. And before we get into the literary side of things, I just wanted to mention the Liverpool Literary Agency, because it's quite unique in that it specialises in working with underrepresented writers from the north of the UK. It's pretty big on promoting quality, diversity and greater inclusion in the publishing industry. And of course, it's also based in my hometown, Liverpool. And if anyone listening at home doesn't know much about Scousers, we're very proud people. Laura, what's your experience been like working with the agency so far?
Yeah, it's been really, really good. Brilliant. Everyone's been really welcoming. Brilliant writers to work with. And of course, like you said, we're very passionate about underrepresented writers, especially working class. Because we found sort of throughout all of the publishing industry, that's still a very underrepresented area.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's something I felt when I went to FantasyCon. It's been a couple of years ago now. And I just felt lost. There was just nobody there like me. And it's quite hard to describe class. I don't know. Do you find it quite hard to describe that sort of state of being? Like the state of mind that sort of comes with different classes? Like, I just couldn't find anyone like me.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It's that sort of shared experiences and shared background. And
yeah. Relatability, I suppose, isn't it? Like, you can relate to anyone. Well, I met a few really nice people, and that made it really worthwhile going. And I think it's just happened again, FantasyCon, hasn't it, down in London?
Yeah.
But you mentioned that it's on at Birmingham next year, so hopefully we'll be going back. So how did you get into becoming a literary agent?
So, I mean, my path was probably quite an unusual one. So our director, Claire, I actually met her a few years ago because she came and did a talk while I was doing my master's at JMU. And I met her then. And then sort of a few years later, I was looking for work. I was sort of between jobs and looking at the publishing industry and that sort of thing. And of course, most of the jobs are down in London. And a mutual friend actually said to Claire, oh, hey, you know, Laura's looking for work. And she approached me. And at the time, the agency was an editing company doing freelance editing. So I came on as an editor originally. And then Claire sort of mentored me as an agent. And then I took a few months off because I had a baby, but, you know.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And then when she got a bit older, obviously, I was able to take on more of the agent side. So I kind of call it doing hard mode as an agent, because I came in as a brand new agent to a new agency doing a genre that we hadn't done before in the agency.
Yeah.
So because most people sort of go... You know, most people start maybe as an agent's assistant or as an agent in a big agency. No, I have to do things the hard way.
Yeah. You learn, that's about no kind of situations you learn the most, I find.
Yeah.
Because you're forced to learn fast, or you sink, don't you?
Yeah. Like I said, I've been very fortunate in that everyone's been really welcoming. All the sort of editors and publishing industry people I've spoken to have been really, really great about answering questions and helping out with things.
Yeah. So can you give us a bit of an idea of what, like a day in the life sort of thing, what's it like to be a literary agent on a day-to-day basis?
Well, of course, mine's very subjective because most of my day is spent running after a very small person and fitting everything in around it.
Yeah.
Most of my experience so far has been reading queries, editing the work of the writers that I've taken on, getting submission packages ready, sending them out to editors, having meetings with editors to meet them, making lots and lots and lots of notes, having lots and lots of spreadsheets.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. Hopefully, before too long, there'll be lots of talking to editors again and signing contracts and looking over offers and things like that.
Yeah. So it sounds like a lot of networking involved, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A lot.
So I can imagine that it's just a matter of getting all those contacts so that when you do have an author, you can sort of match them up with an editor. Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. You sort of, a lot of what I've been doing is kind of talking to editors and making their wish list in a way, and seeing who I've got that matches it. And then when I get a new submission in, you know, I'll have in the back of my head, okay, who could I send this out to? Does this fit anything that anyone's told me? That sort of thing.
Yeah. When we were chatting with Adrian Tchaikovsky about publishing, something he mentioned is that sometimes he'll just pitch books or pitch ideas to books based on what they're looking for. So do you find that you get that from editors, that they'll tell you what they're looking for?
Not so much yet, because I've taken, you know, the writers that I've taken on are all sort of new writers or debut writers, and I'm submitting out the books that they've already written.
Yeah.
But from what other people have said and from what I sort of know, that is something, you know, once you get that relationship built up, then editors will start to say, hey, I'm looking for this, have you got anything like that, you know, and I sort of know the things that my writers are working on and the things that my writers have got you know, half yeah. done or are getting ready to do, and I can kind of say to them, hey, this person's looking for this, have you got something like that, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like a bit of you're building like a relationship of trust, aren't you, that if an editor's gonna get a good submission from you and it went down really well, they enjoyed it, everyone else enjoyed it, they're gonna trust you, aren't they, when you come back to them to deliver yeah. again.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really cool. Have you noticed any trends in sort of terms of what editors are looking for at the moment?
Romance is a big one at the moment.
Really? Is that even yeah. in fantasy genres? And
oh, stuff, yeah. Fantasy yeah. romance. Everyone's saying fantasy Ooh. Romance. Right, because I do young adult and adult, and kind of the crossover and everything, fantasy, romance.
Yeah.
Diversity, big, big one. Lots of editors want LGBTQ content. Lots of editors want non-Western-based fantasy.
Yeah.
A lot of escapist stuff, so a lot of, you know, epic fantasy, space opera, that sort of thing.
Nice. So when it comes to people sending queries to you, what are you looking out for yourself?
So I'm looking for, you know, fresh things, new ideas. I mean, I there's nothing that I absolutely don't want. The most important thing for me is that those sample chapters really grab your attention. And they really grab you. The actual query letter itself is good, but I was talking about this on Twitter earlier today. I sort of skim a query letter and then I look at the sample writing. And then if the sample writing grabs me, I go back and look at the query letter in more detail.
Yeah.
But you want to get an idea that the writer has an idea of the market and an idea of what is being looked for. So things yeah. like genre, word count, themes, they're all quite important.
Yeah, so you'd expect in like a query letter, would you make comparisons to other kind of works, or do you not like that kind of?
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that people seem to have the most stress with is the comparison titles, the comp titles. So yeah. What I always tell people is, don't worry too much about them being like perfect matches. Go for things like the themes. So. You know, the darkness of this meets the romance of this meets the dragons of this, or you can pick bits and pieces.
Yeah. No, that's a really good way of looking at it. I always find it's the hardest part, honestly.
Yeah.
you spend like years writing 100,000 words or whatever, getting it just right, and it's just impossible to summarize that into a letter. And well, okay, going back to Adrian Tchaikovsky, he said that's the hardest part for him as well. So it must be like a universal thing. It's like, yeah. I don't know how people can write good query letters. So
the funny thing is though, because I have to then write basically a query letter for editors, but in a bit more detail. But I really enjoy that bit because I think talking about someone else's work is probably easier than talking about your own work.
Yeah,
that's like one of my favorite things so far has been writing those submission packages for editors.
Nice.
Because I get really enthusiastic about my author's work.
Yeah. That's what you want in an agent, isn't it? Like you don't want to work with someone who's just sort of passive about what you've created.
It's, meh, it's all right.
you want a cheerleader, don't you? Is there anything that puts you off a submission?
Word count is quite important. So when you're looking at sort of hundreds of submissions and you get one that's got a word count that's just way out of what you'd expect. So if I got a query through that was like a 200,000, 300,000 word novel, yeah. that would pretty much be an instant no, because it's so much, I wouldn't expect the writer to be able to cut that down to what I'd yeah. be looking for, you know.
Imagine the print costs on that as well. There'd be little
That's
profits.
The thing. yeah. I've read something recently that basically said editors don't want anything for a debut author, at least not really anything above 140,000, because when you get over 140,000, that's where the cost to profit ratio starts getting wonky.
Yeah,
I don't know how true that is as well. I was reading about, but certainly for, you know, for new writers, you don't want to go above that sort of mark.
I suppose it would depend on the genre as well, wouldn't it? Because I can't imagine. Imagine epic fantasies would probably get to that length, but I don't know if a romance would stretch out.
No, I mean, you kind of standard, you know, commercial paperback is like 90,000, 80,000, 90,000.
Yeah.
Whereas like an epic, you know, fantasy, like you said, is going to be, I usually say around 120, 130.
Yeah.
Because you can always add more to it when you get to the editing stage.
Yeah, that's a good point. Underwrite, but more sellable.
Well, one of my writers, I had to say to them, put more in, because it was, I think it was about 50,000, and I was like, right, get it over 60.
Yeah.
You know, you've got room to, I think it's easier to put more in than it is to take things out in a way.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I'm working on one now, and it was a novella, and I had a chat, I don't know if you know them actually, called Heroic Books.
Yeah.
They've gone under now.
Which is a shame, because they were so nice. We went and had a chat with them, and they were lovely.
I met with the guy, and he was like, yeah, I really like it, but it's too short. Like, you can't sell novellas. So off the back of that, I was like, all right, then I'll turn it into a novel. And then obviously working through the edits now, I thought, I'll see how Heroic Books are getting on, going under.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. So, but yeah, I can imagine, like, that's I suppose just looking at good publishers like that, because they had big backers, didn't they? Like Jonathan Ross, anyone who doesn't know Jonathan Ross, he's on the TV over here in the UK. Got a mad lisp, hasn't he? But he was involved in the publishing company, and I was surprised to see them go under. And yeah, it just goes to show.
Yeah. It's a hard business.
Yeah, really hard. Something I was going to ask you about while we're sort of talking about that, is there anything else that you'd look for when you get a submission beyond the book? Like, so say if an author, for example, has got a following, like a lot of people invest a lot of time in social media and stuff like that. Is that worthwhile from your perspective as an agent?
I will go and look at an author on Twitter. If I like someone's submission, I'll go and see if they're on Twitter, and I'll go and have a look at what they're tweeting just to make sure that they're not, you know,
neon Nazis or something.
Yeah. But to be honest, not really. Because the publishing companies have marketing departments. Obviously, a social media presence and everything is really important for self-publishing or indie. But if you're going for traditional publishing, it's probably not going to make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
Like, and if I read something great, I don't care if you've got 20 followers or 20,000. Like, if it's good, it's good.
Yeah. Nice, that's really interesting, yeah. So it's sort of gets taken out of your hands a bit by the sounds of it, by the marketing companies.
In a good way.
Yeah, because I think that's what every sort of upcoming author wants, is a bit of help and support with marketing. Yeah. But I saw a really startling statistic recently. You probably know if this is true or not. I think it was Penguin Random House, or one of the big publishers anyway. I think they publish about over 50,000 titles a year. And apparently only half of them sell more than a dozen copies.
I don't know. That's true. I did read that, and I did see someone say that some of them are very specialised educational works.
Ah, there you go then. So maybe there was a caveat to that statistic.
Yeah. So, because I think in amongst their imprints are some like university presses and scientific presses and whatever and whatever and whatever. And I think that's where that's come from.
Yeah, well, there you go then, chaps. Debunked. But it just goes to show, doesn't it? Like, 58,000 books in 1 year is a lot for a publisher.
So they must have Penguin Random House are also massive.
Yeah.
They're huge. They have got so many imprints, it's redonkulous.
So they must have a huge marketing company as well. That's exciting for an author.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Not only have I been the owner of Mint Mobile for the last few years, I've also been a customer. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities, so do like I did and have one of your assistant's assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/ switch.
New activation and upfront payment for 3-month plan required. Taxes and fees extra. Additional restrictions apply. See mintmobile.com for full terms.
So just going back to what it's like to be an agent, I mean, how many submissions do you get, like, per week, month, year? Like, what's the sort of average at the moment?
Okay, I'll tell you mine, and then I'll tell you someone who I've been making friends with on Twitter.
Okay. Right.
So, I was open for submissions from around February, March-ish. And we started off small. So we started off just the north of England. And of course, I was science fiction fantasy from the north of England. So quite specialised. And I was looking through my submissions, and I had about 200 altogether, I would say. And that's including the ones that I've asked for from pitching contests and things. So, you know, about 6 months, 200 submissions, it's
a lot.
Fine. Yeah. However, an agent who I've made friends with on Twitter, she opened for submissions, I think, on the 1st of September. And by a week or two, she'd had 900 and something.
Ooh.
And that's more in line with what most agents get, because they have, you know, they don't place the restrictions on it that we do.
Yeah. And that was just off a week?
That was like a week. I think it was a week or two. It wasn't more than that, because it was around... She's already closed. She's, you know, because she just had so many.
That's insane.
Yeah, that's about right. Apparently it's more... Because obviously I've only been an agent this year, but it's... Before the pandemic, it wasn't quite that insane. And then after the pandemic, it's just gone bonkers.
Everyone's novels that they've written in lockdown. Editors and ready to go.
Yeah, apparently, I think in the hundreds a week is quite usual.
So most, I imagine, would just have a quota, and then once they hit that quota, they close.
I would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, because when you first open, you're going to get everyone. Whereas when you've been open for a while, people will already have queried you, and I would imagine it'll slow down a bit.
Yeah. So it helps to have a good filtration system then.
Yeah. So that's why, unfortunately, things like massive word counts or letters with like no information in or things like that just get rejected straight away because there just isn't time.
Yeah.
Or you get things through that just aren't the right genre, or, you know, I've had like non-fiction things through and we don't do non-fiction, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, I think it's fair enough to just automatically reject them because the person obviously hasn't invested any effort and time to make sure it's a good fit.
Yeah.
Which is something I'll ask you about in a little bit. But I mean, how long would it take to go through all them submissions? Like, it's a serious time investment, I imagine.
It is, because if you're at the point where, I mean, I tend to know fairly quickly if I want to keep reading. Like, I go through a bit of a process, so I'll read the query letter.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's certain things that are instant rejects, so massively out there, word counts, wrong genre, blah, blah, blah. And the majority of them, I'll at least read the first page or two. And usually within the first page or two, I can tell if I'm going to want to read a bit more. Yeah. So even the quickest one, you're talking 15, 20 minutes. And then, you know, half an hour to kind of read the whole couple of chapters and get a good feel for it and that sort of thing. So, you know, if you're getting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and it's taking you half an hour to an hour for each one, it's quickly adding up. And for most agents as well, this is the unpaid bit. Like, you know, and they're doing it in their spare time. It tends to not be their day job. It tends to be what they do of an evening or of a weekend or...
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it?
Mm.
And just working through the pile. The endless pile. So how long... So what's your sort of process then? So someone submits, you review the query, and then you ask for the full manuscript?
Yeah, some people do partials where they ask for, you know, the first whatever, but I tend to go straight to the full one because if I start reading it and it's definitely not a fit, I'll stop. I won't like keep going.
Yeah.
So I don't ask for partials because I don't see the point. I'll either read the whole thing or I won't. It's, you know.
Yeah. And would you read the whole manuscript before you offered to sign someone?
Yeah, definitely.
That's a serious time commitment. reading a novel like that.
I read fast. I can read a novel in a day or two or three, depending how much time I've got to read.
Yeah.
But even so, you know, it's and I make notes as I go as well, because obviously if I'm taking the book on, I'm going to help them edit it to get it ready for submission. So I'll be making notes as I go of things, you know, any notes for what I want to ask the author, or any bits I think need changing, or any mistakes I see, you know, I'm doing that, and that makes it take longer than just reading.
Yeah. Analytical reading. So what happens once you sign an author then? I mean, it sounds like obviously you've got all these notes ready to go. So obviously they're going to try and make it as good as they can before you start putting your submission packs together for editors.
Yeah, I mean, even as a writer is editing, I can start putting submission pack together, because the things like the themes and the comp titles and the blurb probably aren't going to change that much. So I generally start that while the writers are doing their edits. And I start making a list of which editors I'm going to send it to as well.
Yeah. Ah, oh, nice. So it's like the proper partnership is beginning to form then, sort of like people working together alongside each other, looking after different things.
I'm very open with mine as well. Like, I share all my submission packages with my authors and say, you know, is this okay? Is there anything you want to change?
Yeah.
Because I want to make sure that I'm representing their book truly and completely. Like, I don't, you know, I would never send anything off without running it past one of them first.
Yeah. That's really important. So if that, again, it's just building that relationship of trust, isn't it? So how does an agent get paid then? I'm guessing it's all about selling that book to a...
Yeah, so we get a percentage of... Basically, if we sell a book, we get a percentage of what you make off that book. So we get a percentage of the advance, we get a percentage of the royalties, we get a percentage of any money we help you make, we get a commission. Yeah.
And would that extend to like things like events?
Mm-hmm.
So any, it's just like basically a partnership then, a business partnership. So whatever money the author makes, then the agent gets a cut.
As long as the agent has helped them do it.
Oh, so the agent's got to help them do it, yeah.
Yeah. So if an author goes off and arranges their own event and gets paid for it, then it's nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
Or if an author, like, we have it built into our contracts, if an author sells a short story that's got nothing to do with that novel, then.
Yeah. It's quite... I always wondered about this because I've never... no experience of it. So can you talk a bit about the contract then? Because like you say, there seems to be quite a bit of freedom that the author retains. So what's that relationship work like on a contractual level?
So we always send our contract out for people to have a look at when they're considering coming on with us. And it sort of... It lays out... what we can and can't get paid for, how much we get paid for different things, what percentage we get, and that sort of thing. And it also has a clause in it about if, you know, the worst should happen, you need to break the relationship. And it can happen from either side, either the agent or the writer.
Yeah. What is the... are you allowed to say what the percentage is? Is there like an average percentage that agents...
Yeah, absolutely. Off the top of my head, it's 10% for UK sales and... 15% for things like translation rights and TV and film rights.
Oh, nice. I've read something recently about an increase in the sale of TV and film rights when agents are negotiating deals with editors as well. Is that something that you've noticed?
I don't know. No. I just do the book stuff.
Obviously, that's where... the mega money is, isn't it? It's like what a lot of writers want to go for.
It would make sense, but a lot of TV and film companies buy the rights and then just sit on them.
Yeah. Well, you still get paid for it.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. So what's that relationship like then between writer and agent? Is it quite a close sort of daily communications or weekly communications? Like,
I think it depends on... the agent and the writer. I mean, I'm quite chatty with my writers. We have a Discord server, so nice. Sort of chat amongst ourselves and quite often talk over email, and I sort of keep them up to date on where their submissions are at and let them know if someone rejects it or where we're up to, and they chat to me about what they want to do next and that sort of thing.
That's really good way to be. Discord as well. I just love it. I think it's fantastic. Mm. We've got a Discord server as part of this podcast. It's probably about 200 or 300 writers in it now. But it's brilliant because it's a great space for people to meet other writers and then go off, read each other's work, give each other feedback, help each other improve, share different things. I don't know. I was always reluctant to, I just suppose I didn't really know how to engage with other writers. But when once you start doing that and you start getting the feedback, not only does it give you encouragement, but it really does help with your writing. Astronomically so, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's really important. Like,
yeah,
that's one of the biggest things we say if people are having, if someone's having trouble with the query or their submissions and whatever, go to other writers and get the feedback on it.
I know. I mean, knowing what I know, the benefits of feedback. Where I work, we've got like writers, we've got editors, and everything is built around feedback and like helping people improve the writing through the feedback. So yeah, can't recommend it more highly enough. Do you have any tips for writers who are looking for an agent at the moment? I mean, should they do lots of research on the authors that those agents represent? Or the types of books that you like? What have you got to share?
You definitely want to research the agent. Make sure that they're representing your genre. A lot of agents are on Twitter now, or on Manuscript Wishlist. There's a website called Manuscript Wishlist.
Yeah.
Where agents can post what they're looking for.
Cool.
Yeah.
Never
heard
that.
It can and can't be useful to see what writers they've got, because if you're querying something very similar to something they've already got, it's more likely they're not going to take it. But it just depends, because you know, if they've sold a book, they'll have sold it 2 years ago, so they might be ready for another one. You never know.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to writers who are looking to maybe sort of keep up with the market? Like you say, things get signed off and then nothing happens for a while, don't they? So
yeah.
You could start something and then 2 years down the line it's completely shifted to something else.
that's why it's good to look at wish lists and look at what agents are asking for, because they'll be asking for what they think is going to be selling next. But there's a lot of stuff that's timeless. I mean, epic fantasy, space opera is timeless in a way that contemporary fantasy isn't so much. That kind of comes and goes, and dystopian comes and goes, and post-apocalyptic comes and goes.
I'm wondering when vampires are going to make the comeback.
Oh, they're apparently having a bit of a resurgence. Vampires.
Oh, is this the romantic vampires?
Could be. I've heard vampires are something that people are looking for. So there's a couple of really good books come out recently.
Ah, nice. There you go. The next Twilight is on the horizon.
Oh God, I hope not.
It must be quite exciting for you as a fantasy sci-fi agents, seeing all these blockbuster TV shows coming up, like Lord of the Rings. What was that, $1 billion spent on that? Game of Thrones, new Game of Thrones as well.
Yeah,
I just love seeing all these fantasy things in the mainstream.
Yes, it's the teenage me is looking at it and going, oh, why wasn't this like this when I was younger?
No.
I used to get bullied in school for liking these things.
Yeah. And now you're standing there telling everyone, I told you so.
Yeah. it is really exciting, and it is, you know, it's become much more of a mainstream thing now.
Yeah, it is. It's great. Thank you so much, Laura, for giving up your time to chat with me this evening. It's I've learned so much, and I hope everyone out there listening at home has learned something new. One of the big reasons why I wanted to speak with Laura is basically to demystify the world of literary agents. And it's something I've always been a bit unsure about. So, like I say, just learning a bit about how things work on a day-to-day basis, how many submissions you get, how long it takes to go through them submissions. It's so, so important for writers to understand that. So, yeah, we've experienced a bit of ignorance when it comes to book reviewers, and we've spoken with book reviewers about that on the show in the past, and it's helped a lot of writers sort of understand a bit better the realities of the publishing industry. So yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very, very welcome. It's an absolute pleasure.
If we wanted to learn a bit more about you, where's the best place to look?
You can find me on Twitter or Google the Liverpool Literary Agency, and we'll come up.
Oh, nice one. I'll put links to everything in the description as well. And I understand you're currently closed to submissions. Do you know when you're going to be open again?
Hopefully in the new year. probably around January or February.
Yeah, got a lot of reading to do in the meantime.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you again, Laura, and thank you everyone at home for listening. Laura, thank you so much again for giving up your time to chat with me about what it's like to be an agent. And hopefully, as a writer, you found that interesting, you found it useful. If you did, and you don't want to miss the next episode, be sure to follow or subscribe to the show. And if you really did like what you've heard, a quick rating on Spotify will be amazing. So thank you very much. There's a lot of people who've given ratings so far, and I'm indebted to all of you. If you'd like to help us out with the show, a quick share on social media with anyone or with anyone you think may be interested will go a long way in doing that. And be sure to join our writing group as well. We congregate on Discord and Facebook. It's a great place to meet new people, like-minded people, and people who are genuinely invested in helping each other get better with the writing. So it's a great place to be. If you'd like to gain access to writing classes, tools, and a Fantasy Writers Toolshed t-shirt, head over to Patreon. Link is in the description there. And just a quick reminder that there's no episode on the 14th of October, but we will be back on the 28th with a brand new episode. So thank you very much again for listening today. And until then, keep on scribbling.